And we are on the air for this Wednesday, October the 7th, 2020, 18 minutes past the hour. Scott Spears and Glenn Coble coming at you for the next 2 hours. And always lots to talk about. We thank Shecky Green for coming on this morning. And I think on the night that there is a vice presidential debate coming up, that we've got to be a little... It's been a very serious week. We had the presidential debate. We had the president contracting coronavirus and a stay in the hospital over the weekend. Everybody's serious right now. I think we still need a little levity from here and there and everywhere. And tonight there's a debate, so there you go.
How would you like to hear Shecky on as a debater?
Well, I think he would do very well.
I think he would, too.
I think he would do very well. He's very extemporaneous and very good.
Yeah, and there would be a lot of words you'd have to beep like you did today.
Well, who knew that Cary Grant swung both ways?
I had no idea.
It was always suspected that he did, but now we know for sure. And he gave the names.
Yeah.
So we definitely know
good
now.
Good old Shecky. He really doesn't stand on any formalities, does he?
No, he's very... And he's getting up at 94 years old.
Yeah.
He's getting up at 6 a.m.
Yeah,
out
that's
there.
Crazy. That's, oh, probably before that because you got to brush your teeth.
Well, but Ed Asner, the same thing. Ed is nearly 91. And he, what's that?
Oh, I just wondered if you could hear me.
Oh, I can hear you, yeah.
Oh, okay, I can't hear myself.
Uh-oh, so. Are you plugged in?
Yeah, I am, but I've got, my earphone's not working so good. Okay, go ahead.
There you go. No, so, I mean, these people get up at 6 a.m. and they do what they got to do, and it's very good, and we have a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm amazed every time I hear guys like that from the West Coast. If I were them, I wouldn't do it.
Well, they love being on the show, Glenn. What can you say? They love to be on the show. So it's been an interesting week since last we met. We met the day after that terrible, terrible debate last week.
Yeah, what a horrible debate.
What a weekend it was last weekend.
Do you think they'll have another debate? I mean, I think they'll have another one, but do you think they'll dump the second one?
I don't know yet because I think that's all going to be on the president's health.
Yeah,
because it's supposed to be next Thursday, and that would be inside of the 2 week quarantine. But it's my understanding they're putting up plexiglass tonight.
Yeah,
so maybe they might.
Plexiglass only goes so high though, and little droplets can float.
Well, I don't know. Tonight I expect to be very debate-like. I think it will actually be a debate, vice presidential debate.
Yes, I do too.
But
both of them are good debaters.
Yeah, I don't think they scream and yell. I don't think that's going to happen.
No, and Pence is known for being a good debater. So.
Yeah, we
know about Kamala. So.
Yeah, but I just wonder how that's going to go because I remember back in 88 when George H.W. Bush debated Ferraro, and I remember back...
She nailed him a couple times really good.
But I think he did very good.
Oh, he had a fine debate.
And then I remember back in 2008 with Biden and Sarah Palin.
Oh.
And that was, he did not want to look condescending to her, and I think that's going to be Pence's problem tonight as well. I think they both got issues tonight. I think Pence's issue is to not look condescending to a woman, as silly as that, but that always is.
She won't let him for long.
Well, but that's her problem, is to not come off like a difficult person.
Yeah, well.
Because that was, if you come off, for some reason, when women scream and yell and get too difficult, as sad as it is, people, that's a turnoff to people.
Did you watch it when she was questioning... who was it? One of the Supreme Court people. Anyway, she didn't come off screechy or anything like that.
Well,
she
was very straightforward. But I think if she does that tonight, I don't think she can do what she did with the Kavanaugh hearing. I don't think I don't think she can do that because it does come off very emotionless and very stern. And it comes off very prosecutorial, which is what she is. But I think she's got to come off likable. That's what presidential election's all about. And
I don't think she'll have any problem with that.
We'll see. We'll see.
I mean, I've always thought she was likable.
So. And I think Pence has to come off as not condescending to her.
Yeah.
So that's going to be tough.
And I can't honestly say the same about Pence, that he always just come off not condescending.
Well, I think there's a lot of big issues tonight.
His wife will be looking over his shoulder. So.
Well, there's a lot of big issues tonight because I'm sure they're going to talk about the president's hospitalization. I'm sure they're going to talk about the record of the last. They have a record to talk about. See, the last presidential debate, there really was no record because both people running were not in office at the time. This time they are.
I hope, I believe the trio of interviewers are from MSNBC, and I thought Wallace did a very credible job, considering, first of all, he's from Fox News, and you know what I think of Fox News, but that's neither here nor there. I thought he did a great job, considering all he had to go through. I hope the MSNBC trio or quartet, whatever it is, doesn't come off the other way and look like they're just too liberal and try, you know, be fair. That's all.
Well, they certainly just need to ask questions.
Yeah, yeah. Don't try and put anything into it. Yeah, but I think they also need to fact check.
Well, you know, that's a hard thing for a moderator to do, I think.
Oh, it's very difficult. But I think if one of the either one of them tells a bold-faced lie, I think they have to say, well, the facts don't support that, Mr. Vice President or Miss Madam, whatever they'll call her,
you
Madam
know,
Senator.
Well, I'm still trying to figure out what is going to be the big issue tonight. What's going to be the one for these two?
Wow, that's a good question. I would have probably guessed the weakness of not sticking with facts and science. I think that's probably what they will look at.
It'll be interesting because I wonder if there will be any personal attacks, because both of them do have, well, it could be. And I think both of them do have areas that you could get into that are personal. But it certainly is not going to be what last week was.
I'm trying to think of what areas you would be talking about on either one of them.
Well, I think that on Pence, he's had some issues when it comes to same-sex issues.
Oh, yeah.
In his own
state. I see what
you're
saying, yeah.
And I also think for her, she had some issues about the people that she was prosecuting. Mm. And also that she went after Biden in that first debate.
Sure.
So, you know, I think those are...
Yeah, they probably will hit on those things. I think that's another thing when you're talking about the... Pence's propensity to go against gay marriage, and also obviously he's anti Roe versus Wade. I would say that those will be some of the things the moderators will ask. I hope they just don't go too far. I think they need to make it fair and balanced, as the saying goes.
It'll be interesting. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Sarah.
Hey, Chip. How's it going?
Good.
What are you doing out there?
No good.
You going to watch the debate tonight?
Yes.
Good. Good. Do you know who you're going to vote for yet, Chip? Trump or Biden?
President Trump.
President Trump?
Have you gotten your ballot yet, or are you going to do it in person?
Well, the ballot not come yet.
Okay.
Hasn't come yet? Well, I'm sure you'll do fine with that, Chip. Now, Chip, what are you still working?
Yes.
Do you work tonight?
Yes.
Good. So how are things over at the grocery store?
Good.
Good. You been feeling good? You been staying safe, wearing your mask?
Yeah, good. Get my food stopped yesterday.
Good. Excellent.
Did it feel okay? It didn't hurt, did it?
No.
Good. So you got your flu shot and you're all loaded up and ready to go.
Yes.
Well, Chip, it's good to hear from you. Call in any time.
Oh, you play Ox Baker?
You know, I will try to get the Ox Baker footage out, Chip.
Okay.
Take care, Chip.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Chip, one of the great people over at the Kroger on the south end of town, bagging there for many, many years now.
It always makes you smile when he calls in, doesn't it?
And he's a good guy.
Yeah.
He's such a good guy.
Like it,
such a good guy. Again, telephone lines are open. What do you think the debate will be like tonight? What do you think the issues will be? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I think it'll be interesting because I don't know if... I think we'll get issues. And it's interesting that we'll get issues from these two and we didn't from the other two.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with you. This is going to be a more substantial debate than the last one, no doubt. Yeah. What do you think about the audience? Do you think it'll be large? I think it's going to be big because of how crazy the presidential one was.
You know, it might be. But I don't know how many people. You know, they always say that people don't care about the vice president.
Yeah, they
people
say that.
Don't vote that. People yeah. don't pay attention. Maybe they don't.
But I think this time, both vice president. Both vice presidential candidates have significant things to add to the slate, and I think it's more important this time, maybe.
Well, it'll be interesting because we have not seen Pence a whole lot, and we haven't seen Kamala a whole lot since she dropped out of the race back in I think January it was.
I think she's been boning up for this debate the whole time.
I still think there was a deal made. I still think there was
okay, give me that.
Well, because she was the first one to drop out of that Democratic primary, and it never made any sense to me because she was polling. She dropped out before there ever was a caucus or ever was a primary, and she had this big outlay. She was the one who went after Joe Biden the hardest, and it just never made sense to me of why she pulled out before there ever was a contest.
I know exactly why she pulled out.
I think Biden called her up.
No. She saw my endorsement of her and Biden as top two on the ticket.
I think Biden called her up and said, listen, you're a tough cookie, and
you're African-American, you're pretty, and I need you on my team to get both of those votes and also because you're a tough lady.
Well, I think, and she would take votes away from him in those primaries.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, but I don't think he was terribly
worried. So I think he offered her the vice presidential spot.
I think at that point he had pretty much started to zoom ahead, hadn't he?
No, because remember, he was behind.
When was it? When did
almost March, because it was right before Super Tuesday. We're going to break back in a minute. Okay. Ted, did you know President Warren G. Harding was from Marion, Ohio?
Yes, I did. I passed by his home on the way to the station today, but he wasn't home.
Well, Ted, he's been dead for quite some time.
That doesn't excuse bad manner. He could have left a bundt cake. They get better with age.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is gonna help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Scott Spears, Glenn Coble, back with you on this Wednesday, 740-383-9944. Phone lines are open. What do you think about the presidential, vice presidential debate tonight or anything else going on in the world? 740-383-9944. And certainly with the president's COVID diagnosis this past weekend, I don't understand the terrible things being said on Facebook.
It's just kind of mean.
That's where we've gotten in this world. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, just a little correction. Kamala is not African-American. She's Jamaican and Indian.
Yeah, that's right.
So just a small correction.
You're absolutely correct. She's Asian and Haiti, was it?
They did have a couple other African-American ladies in consideration. But
yeah. Yeah. Well, Rice, who I mentioned, was obviously African American. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, why? Okay. How do you think it's going to go tonight? Are you going to watch tonight?
Oh yeah. I think this is more interesting to me than than the other debate.
Well, definitely after what happened at the other debate.
You know, these two have of all the president or vice presidential debates, these two probably have as good a chance as any of becoming president eventually.
Yeah.
Even in the next 4 years.
Yeah, and so, I'm more comfortable with either one of them having to take reins as opposed to some of the ones we've had in the past.
So, okay, that's all I have.
Thank you.
Just okay.
No, I appreciate it. Bye bye.
Yeah, the caller is absolutely correct. She's not African-American, but she is tan. Let's go.
Well, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We'd love to hear what you think about the debate tonight or what's going on. We're getting awful close.
Yeah, we
October the 7th.
Yeah, I think I will give you the exact number of minutes till the. You know, that's one of the things that a lot of my right-wing friends don't like to hear me say is that won't it be wonderful when this whole world is tan? But I really think if you'll stop and think about it, it would be wonderful if we could all just relax and enjoy each other.
Well, what I was saying before we got the call was I was really disheartened by the Facebook. Before we knew where the president's health was, when the announcement was made on Thursday night that he and Melania both had tested positive for COVID, the vitriolic things that people were saying on social media, I just, you know, it really has, this is what the whole election has said to me, is that it is nasty on both sides. It is, and that, there should have been no problem with saying, listen, we hope the president gets better. That's all you have to say. That's it. You don't have to vote for him. You don't have to endorse him. You don't have to like his policies. You don't have to like anything he did.
Well, you don't even have to say you hope he gets better if you don't.
You just say nothing.
Just say nothing.
Right, but I mean that it's a fellow human being, and people were saying that horrible, horrible stuff, and coming up with memes that were horrible. That I don't understand, and I would have said the same for Biden if Biden had gotten sick. You shouldn't do that. You should not, that is not what we should do as human beings.
I didn't see a horrible meme.
I saw a couple of them.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
My first tweet was my skepticism, and I'm always skeptical about things. And I said, is he in fact sick? I really thought the first thing that came to my mind, because of all the things that this administration has done, I thought they were trying to play on sympathy. I thought we'd find out 3 days afterwards that he was fine. But obviously he's not. If you watched him walk up those stairs and breathe as heavy as he was at the top of those stairs, you know he was hurt.
Well, Dr. Yulin was on yesterday, and he worked at Walter Reed. Mm-hmm. And he said, because I asked him that, I said, is there a possibility that this was a show? And he said, I worked there. No doctor is going to go, they might not say something if the patient said don't say anything, but they're not going to go 10 doctors out there and have a press conference. And
well, I kind of beg to differ, because this doctor that's supposedly the head of the crew, which he's a DO, and I love DOs because that's what they have down at OU, is a school of I can't say the word, but you know what I mean, a DO. He was kind of caught trying to cover up stuff.
I think he was evasive. I think,
yeah.
But Dr. Yulin also said that because of HIPAA laws, if the president had said, don't go out there and talk about this, he would not have been able to do that.
But if, because of HIPAA laws, you can't say, I won't talk about this, but I will talk about this. I thought
because if the president said, okay, don't go, and clearly he did not want people to know he was on oxygen.
Yeah.
And the guy didn't lie. He just was very cagey and evasive about how he was answering that question. Has he been on oxygen? Not today, not yesterday. Not today. And clearly that infers that at one point he was. But if you're a patient and you say, okay, you can talk about this, but you can't talk about that, then you could talk about certain things.
Well, I haven't read the HIPAA thing. I've read it a couple of times, but not in a long time, so I'd have to question that. But I think the fact that they are being evasive is bad. As a PR guy for as many years as I was a PR guy, I would never allow my client to be that evasive, because they see through it instantly. The people that don't like you are going to make a big thing out of it, and the people that do like you are going to be a little embarrassed.
But I think with the president of the United States in a situation like that, it's always been evasive. When Reagan was shot, we now learn that he about died.
Yeah.
But yet, at the time, nobody knew that.
I think there were hints of it.
But nobody was coming out saying
that.
No,
they weren't coming out
saying that. No doctor was saying that, but it was true. We learned all these years later. And when Kennedy was assassinated, it took him a long time for the hospital to say he was dead.
Yeah.
It took him a lot longer. Matter of fact, I think CBS announced it before the official word ever came from the hospital because they were going to sources. There's a lot of people around the president who, when they're sick or when they're hurt or when, God forbid, they die, who are trying to figure out how do we not plunge stock markets, how do we alert the vice president, how do we not send the country into a shock. And I think that's what was happening over the weekend with this doctor.
Well, I think that they did, I think they have to be a little slower on the giving out of the information. I absolutely understand that. But you know what bothers me a little bit is exactly what you said. They have to let the vice president know. I'd like to know what the order is right now. I mean, I'm not real comfortable with a man on steroids. We had kids when I was in athletics. We had kids that were on steroids, and they could not understand what they were doing when they were beating up their girlfriends or they were throwing things at people. I'm a little concerned that he shouldn't. I think he should have already, you know, you don't have to say Pence is the president, but you can sign the order in case to hand it over.
Well, I think what happened, to be honest with you, he was obviously not feeling well at all. And when you cannot hide the fact that he was being taken to the hospital. And I think that's why the doctors had to give press conferences.
Boy, they sure tried to, though. I mean, they tried to make it look like it was nothing. When in fact, and that's the bad part about bringing him home. They're trying to make it look like it was nothing. And then he gets to the top of the stairs and can hardly catch his breath.
But I think that's what all presidents have done. I think Reagan did that. You know, you can't hide the fact that you're being taken to the hospital, but you can try to soften the blow.
Minimize it.
Yeah, of why you're there.
Oh, I understand
that. And I think that's what was going on, and people can criticize this Dr. Connolly for doing that.
They just weren't good at it.
Well, I think the problem was is that, you know, he was trying not to lie, and the oxygen question was pure proof of that, because they're saying, was he ever on oxygen? And he was saying, not today or yesterday. And that went like four times, and he never did say he was on oxygen, but you know,
those guys have a real problem now. Back when Reagan or I'm trying to think of earlier than that. Kennedy, when they were in trouble, the doctors were not so visible as they are now. The press corps that we have right now digs into, did you get a mosquito bite on that camping trip? I mean, they dig into everything. And they didn't dig back then. There was kind of a unwritten law that you don't push too far as the as far as the president's health goes, I think.
You know, I heard, and today you'll have Dr. Feynman on again.
Yeah.
He's become your regular. He was Adam's regular for a long period of
right.
time.
Yeah.
And you guys were talking, gosh, I should have wrote it down, but I was in the car. I was listening to the beginning of the show last week as I left here, and I was trying to remember, you guys were talking about the conversation that we had last week on the air.
I can't remember what it was.
What did we talk about? It had something to do with President Trump and referring to, oh, it was the debate. It had something to do with the debate. Okay, I'm closing in on it here.
Okay.
Yeah. Had something to do. This is me trying to free associate.
I will tell the audience he's circling the wagons.
Oh, I know what
wagons.
It was. I got it. The wagons have circled. The brain's not. It was, I was not comfortable with Biden calling Trump a racist.
Oh, yeah.
During the debate. And
you also weren't comfortable with calling him a clown.
No, I didn't like that either. But I thought racist was the unprecedented moment. And I heard Dr. Feynman say something about, he just went on about how the president was a racist and so on and so forth. Well, the problem is, it's not about, I mean, people can call anybody a racist. That's their prerogative. You can do that if you want. My point in that particular matter is that I don't think that it's very presidential, if you're running for that office, to stand up on the stage in front of probably what was the largest audience or one of the largest audiences ever to see a presidential debate and call the president a racist. It is not whether Donald Trump is a racist or isn't. People can make their own inference. And that's something a political pundit should do, not a candidate for president. It's just like Joe Biden's, I'll give you another example. Joe Biden's son was on cocaine. I don't think it was right to bring that up, but it's true. So the point is I just thought these were moments where it's not about is he a racist, and I think that's where people get lost. It's about what is discourse, and I saw it again Friday. You know, wishing people dead
discourse is not, was already out the window by that point because the president wasn't allowing him to answer anything, and he was talking over him. And who I don't know what the president called him while that was going on.
But we've even seen people patronizing him. I mean, how many times did Ronald Reagan, there you go again, to a sitting president, Jimmy Carter. I mean, the people have been patronizing. People have been.
I didn't like that either.
No, and people have done that. But that's different than flat out saying things that I think are, whether true or not, it's not for a presidential debate. Nobody was asking, are you a racist? Nobody was asking, was your son on cocaine?
Well, you don't know what Trump was saying in the background because he was shouting at him that whole time. He may have said something really obnoxious.
Right, but I think it's, people lose track of, again, you know, whatever President Trump is or however people feel about him, just like Friday when he got COVID. That's a deadly, deadly disease. And we did not know Friday what was going to happen.
No, he had told us it wasn't, so.
Well, regardless, it went the way it went. And that's what I think. I think, you know, how many people saw the meme? I know I saw it two or three times of bleach on an IV bag going into the president's arm.
I didn't see that.
Embarrassing. You know what? That is just... especially when he's got it, and we don't know if he's going to live or die at the time.
I wouldn't have done that, but I understand why a lot of people did. They were tired of this president calling everybody and his brother a name and not having to pay for it.
Well, I don't know that this was karma.
I think it was payback, yep.
From who?
From everybody that has gotten really tired of the president calling people bad names.
Well, we're going to continue this. Yeah. We're going to break for a minute. We'll be back.
Scott, did you know that Halley's Comet used to fly over Marion every night?
No, Charlie, I didn't know that. How's that possible?
Well, it wasn't really Halley's Comet. It was Martha Dowse's fire baton coming from Girard Avenue.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt US Kids, and the Ad Council.
And here we are, Scott Spears, Glenn Coble, back with you on a Wednesday. 740-383-9944 is the telephone number. If you have anything to say, 740-383-9944.
26 days, 13 hours, and 13 minutes until Election Day.
There we go.
Well, I said I would give you that.
So. But to me, what the whole thing was when the president was diagnosed, it speaks to it still blows my mind how during a time when somebody is sick, that somebody can get up and criticize them for certain things. I don't know. It's just that wouldn't have happened years ago.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Yeah, people were more genteel, more honorable. That's not quite the word I'm looking for. But yeah, back in the day, Eisenhower would never have said anything bad about... can't remember who he ran against. That's really bad. But
Adlai Stevenson.
Thank you.
Yeah. And Eisenhower had bad heart problems.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. And that sort of thing was kind of forbidden on the air. And I was surprised to see that Facebook actually cut down some of the things that Mr. Trump had said that weren't true about the whatever the diagnosis was. I think we need to get back to the days where people are honorable.
Well, like I say, I don't know what went on. And this has nothing to do with President Trump, honestly. It could have been any person in that situation, and I would be saying the same thing. If anybody had been that negative with somebody, if Nancy Pelosi, if Joe Biden, if anybody of that nature, Mike Pence, would have gotten diagnosed with COVID, I would have said the same thing. This is not the time to be negative.
We still have time for Mike Pence. He got awfully close to the president. I hope he doesn't get sick, but it's kind of scary.
Well, and the president, thank goodness, we think he's doing better. His doctors seem to feel that he's doing okay. And I think if he makes it through to next Monday with no big lapses, I think he will be okay. So says the doctor.
Yeah, yeah, this is a kind of a scary time for him, I'm sure, and his family. I was trying to look up some of my tweets and my my posts on Facebook. I am certain that I have been less than cordial about President Trump, but I don't think I got in and actually said, "Oh, I hope he dies" or anything like
well,
that.
Well, I know people.
And there are people that have.
I know people who are definitely against President Trump who completely avoided even commenting, and that was the right thing to do.
I think I did too
about it.
Now I did think maybe it was a ploy at first, and I guess that's probably a negative thing. But it's just that we've been told so many lies that you just don't. I just didn't know when it first came out, and I saw it at 1 o'clock in the morning when it first came out, and that's when I wrote that tweet, and I kind of regret doing that. I wish I hadn't jump so quickly, but we've been told 20,000 lies by this president.
Well, the other thing of this is, and for what, if people like it or dislike it, this is a presidential campaign.
Yeah.
We are under 30 days. This is horrible timing for him.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Know, to
yeah,
get it.
It truly is. Yeah. It,
if you are...
That's not good for the Democrats either, because now it looks like the only reason why he lost is because of this. But I'm
well, just it's bad because, number one, it's 2 weeks off the campaign trail.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2 weeks not being able to raise funds. It's 2 weeks...
Oh, they'll raise funds, I think.
Well, but it's just... It's also the complete optics of the thing, because if you are saying that nobody wants a president who's not healthy, and this is people will have this in their minds
yeah.
when they go vote. Well, people are voting now.
I think he's hurting himself by jamming this nomination of the Supreme Court candidate, trying to jam it through before he gets elected. I think he's hurting himself and his own public relations. I think if I were a Republican senator, I'd be mad as hell about him doing that.
Well, I think what I was saying there about this illness, I think that's why a lot of things, I think if it hadn't been an election year, you wouldn't have seen the spin from the doctors. Mm-hmm. You would not have seen, I don't think he would have went home as quick. I don't think you would have seen the photo op. This is, you know, I remember the story, and I think this is an exactly true story, that Nixon in 1960, when he was running against Kennedy, before the debate, he had contracted some kind of illness.
I didn't remember.
And also
that.
Hurt his leg getting out of the car or something that night, and really was not well during the debate. But he, you know, you're not going to tell the people that, because when you're that close to an election, for people do pay attention to what the health
oh, yeah,
is
absolutely.
Of the president. And
yeah.
and that's...
You don't want to vote on a president that's going to be gone. Who was it? Died from his... After the last virus, the president that was died like 60 days after he got elected because he had leftover stuff from the virus. I can't remember which president it was. It doesn't make any difference, but nobody wants a president that's ill because they don't want to count on.
Well, and I hope he's not rushing it because of the campaign.
Oh, I have no doubts he is.
Well, I hope not, because that's also not good for him.
No, and that's the bad part about this. If we could back off and not force so many things on him this quickly, maybe we could give him a month to relax and get back to healthy, because you sure don't want somebody pushing the red button because you're high on the steroids. I think we need to relax with him. I also wish he'd give over the reins of power to Pence.
Well, I would be surprised if there wasn't a debate next week. I don't know how that's going to go, because I'm sure he will want to.
It could go, you know, they could do it telephonically. They could do it, you know, what's that called?
Yeah, but I think he will want to go to say, I'm okay. This will be his shot to say that I'm okay. But then I wonder if Biden...
I would say no if I were Biden, because I wouldn't want to be in that
room. But that's tricky, though, because... Yeah. Then
it's all trickly, yeah.
So I don't know what'll happen. It's supposed to be next Thursday.
Yeah.
I don't know how that'll work.
And he will still, from what I've heard from the talking heads, and we don't really know, I don't think many of the talking heads know exactly what's going on, but many of them say it will still be within the window that the president could be, pass
right,
it
which
along.
I don't know. And it's weird nobody's saying anything about it. Because we know the facts. We know that it will be in the two-week period.
They are, but it's all around the edges.
Right, but nobody's canceling.
No, not yet.
And we're a week away tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah, it's hard to believe we're getting so close. I've been counting down for a year.
Well, it's going to be an interesting night, November the 3rd. I wonder what will happen.
Well, you know, if it's a blowout, like some people think it might be, I think they'll know by the end of the evening, but I don't really suspect it's going to be a blowout. I think it's going to be everybody's going to get their people out.
It could be.
Yeah, I'm not going to predict it because I'm afraid to.
No, it could. I honestly think that it might go one way, because I think right now everything is very confusing because of mail-in ballots and because of how people – will people turn out that day? I don't know. Will people just stay home and say, I'm not going out and risk this? I don't know what the thought will be.
I think a lot of people that would have said that are counting on mailing in their ballots, and I would say – many of them are Democratic, and I think that's why we're having such voter suppression attempts by the Republicans in power. The Supreme Court in the United States came out, or not in the United States, in Ohio, came out and said we couldn't mandate that the boards of election could only have one drop box. So what did they do? They said, okay, they can have more than one drop box, but they all have to be at the same place. Now, how stupid is that?
That's rulings for you.
That's politics.
That's politics. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. If you have anything to say, give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. Anything that we've talked about, or also anything else that you would like to talk about, give us a call. And by the way, we have we had a message on the Facebook page about some people who were interested in Swap Shop.
Oh, good.
So tomorrow...
Well, we had three calls last week.
So apparently people don't want it to go away.
Yeah, yeah. And I got no negative response. So I'm going to keep on doing it. We may do the first half hour, and if nobody calls in, then I'll go to my other show of the second half hours.
Well, there should be this week from this particular group, I would think.
I hope.
Yeah. Thursday, 12:15 to 1 p.m. on this station.
Yeah.
But it's tonight will be interesting. Tonight will be a learning experience, I think, because I think you will learn, hopefully, some policy that we did not get out of last week's debate.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you on that. Yeah. And that's good. We need to have... I really think elections should be about policies rather than about personalities. Now, the personalities, this particular personality of this president has overshadowed everything, and he kind of made it that way because he is a not talk show host, but he is a what do they call it?
Reality. But
reality
think,
show.
But I think personality always has. I mean,
it's going to, yeah.
Well, they've always said, you know, George W. Bush was more likable than Al Gore, and Bill Clinton was, you know, you couldn't be in a room with Bill Clinton and not like him.
Yeah.
And Ronald Reagan was the actor, and he knew how to pose and take a scene.
Oh, yeah, it's
and
all gonna...
John Kennedy was all looks.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it's always been about that.
Yeah. It's interesting that because of this COVID thing, I've learned more about John Kennedy and his maladies than I had known before. I didn't realize how how many he had.
Well, that's the thing.
Presidents, over and above his back.
Well, presidents always keep this stuff a secret.
Yeah, they do.
Because you're not going to go in saying I'm ill.
Yeah, I might not make it, folks.
Yeah, yeah. You better look. You know, well, Roosevelt wouldn't let himself be photographed,
right. Yeah.
You know, standing up.
And then he died in office.
Died in office. So it's been going on a long time.
Yeah.
So when the doctors came out there and did what they did, that was no shock to me. That's been going on for years and years.
Oh, I didn't say it was a shock. I thought they could have handled it better.
Well, I say different to this president than any other. They're always going to come out and say, try to spin it the best possible way.
I think they just didn't do it very well. I mean, it was obvious they were spinning.
Well, I think the media is different now, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think they're a lot sharper. And that's why they get blamed for fake news, because nobody likes the media people to be smart, and they are. Most media people, if you look up where all the people are, I have looked up just about every anchor on MSNBC, Fox, and CNN. And most of them have pretty high degrees from Ivy League schools.
Well, I just don't think any doctor is going to come out and say, oh, they're doing bad. You know, no. You're never going to hear that from a doctor of a president.
But I think you should be less obviously cagey about it.
Well, I think the problem is the media is, you know, I mean, they asked the oxygen question four times.
Yeah, because he was trying to evade it.
Which, I don't know if that would have happened years ago. I don't know.
I wonder. That's a good question. I wonder, too. Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't...
I think you would have asked that question.
I would have said, well, is he ever on oxygen? And if you don't answer, then people infer.
Yeah.
I think that's the problem. Sometimes when people... See, here's the problem.
What's the difference between infer and imply? But go ahead.
Well, infer is something nobody says. Okay. You just take. Imply is something you said.
Okay.
I know. That was nice. That ate up about 30 seconds. No, the thing that I think is interesting is that when you're in the middle of a question, if the person says, I don't want to answer that, immediately people think they're lying.
Yeah.
You know? So that's, I mean, a non-answer is always an answer.
I've always thought that saying, I cannot answer that, I always thought that was good. But there are a lot of people that think you're hiding something.
Well, they think you did. They yeah. think you did. Because, as one person said, the common wisdom is if you say, did you kill your... Let's say something less. Did you have an extramarital affair? Did you have an extramarital affair? I can't talk about that. Well, people are thinking, if you didn't, you certainly would say yes.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the way it goes. We're coming back. We'll be back with a whole nother hour. Stay tuned.
I've been wanting to hear from you, Scott.
Well, I tell you, this morning I did something different. Yesterday we were outside with the protesters, so today I made sure we got here a little earlier, got through the checkpoints, and I am actually calling you from Cleveland, Ohio, National Convention. Inside, I am